You are listening to the Team Flower Podcast, where we talk about flowers with the people who've dedicated their lives to sharing them with the world. We believe that your work with flowers matters, and we're here today to cheer you on. My name's Kelly, and today we're talking with Margie Keats of The Lovely Ave, a company that makes beautiful paper flowers. Margie began making flowers on her own for her own wedding in 2013, and after 2 years of side projects and spending every available moment perfecting the craft, The Lovely Ave opened its online doors. Today, it's comprised of a wonderful team that includes 10 interns, a right-hand assistant, and a fast and reliable paper cutter. The high-quality crepe paper is hand-cut, and all the flowers are handmade by Margie and the Lovely Ave team in their small studio in downtown Salt Lake City. In this episode, Margie is giving us a behind-the-scenes view into her world of paper blooms. She's sharing her creations step by step, and we're diving into what it looks like to work with the team and how each person's role is vital to the success of the company. So why paper flowers? How do you use them in conjunction with real flowers? Well, we're talking about it today. This podcast is brought to you by Team Flower, an online support community dedicated to educating, connecting, and empowering flower lovers like you worldwide. We provide online classes, in-person events, and free weekly resources like this podcast, designed to support you in your journey with flowers. Whether you're a professional flower farmer, florist, or you just love flowers, there's a place for you here. Welcome, come join the party at teamflower.org. Margie, it's so great to have you on the Team Flower Podcast today. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Kelly. I really appreciate it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have somebody on who has life with flowers in a way that is a little bit different than me. You do paper flowers and arrange paper flowers. Tell us a little bit about how you got started with that and what led you to start creating beautiful blooms using paper.
Yeah, of course. So I started making paper flowers for my own wedding in 2012. And I really have no idea what kind of pushed me to do this. I never thought of myself as a creative person. I graduated.
Interesting.
I know. Right? Yeah. I graduated in exercise sports science from the University of Utah. I wanted to be a physical therapist. So I love science. I love getting answers out of books. I never was an artistic person. So, I was getting married. I had a year and a half engagement. I was paying for my own wedding. And so when I started looking at everything that everything cost, obviously, when I started looking at the cost of things, I realized that flowers were very expensive. And I live in a city that actually flower budgets here are actually quite low. I live in Salt Lake City, Utah, and you can get gorgeous blooms and gorgeous designs by amazing people for quite low, but I was still on a pretty strict budget. So I was on Pinterest one day and saw a paper flower bouquet, and I was like, what is this? I've never seen it before. And it was made out of book paper, like literally sheets from a book. And I don't know why, it had nothing to do with my wedding, but I was so enamored by this ability to create something out of paper like this. I'd never seen it before. So I took to Michael's. It's first time in that store.
Yeah, that's funny.
And I bought some scissors and some hot glue gun, and I just kind of went to town. And my first flowers, I was very proud of them back then, but I'm really scared of them now.
I think all of us sort of probably feel that way to an extent about whatever the thing is that we tried first.
So after my wedding, I just kind of put all my tools away because I didn't really necessarily want to keep doing that. And I kept getting asked by friends and family to make flowers for different occasions. But I realized that I didn't want to use the medium I'd used for my wedding, which was like scrapbooking paper. I was using like cardstock, which was really hard to work with. And of course, the flowers did not look real at all. And I jumped on Instagram sometime in mid like 2013. And that's when I found, no, it was mid 2014, excuse me. And that's when I found these crepe paper florists that were using this gorgeous medium that these flowers looked realistic. There's no way they were paper, but they were. So one of them was kind enough to tell me what paper she was using. I bought a few rolls and I just became obsessed. I came home after work every day and started making flowers, and I just realized it was what made me happy. And so from the time frame of October of 2014 to January 2015, I'd made a good amount of flowers, enough to say like, oh, I'll just start an Instagram. Like, I don't really know where this is going to go. And it kind of blew up. And so I asked my amazing husband if I could quit my job, which he was like, excuse me, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I'm going to be a paper florist. And he's like, what? But we made it work. I opened up my website in April of 2015 and worked out of my home for the first 2.5 years and got lucky enough to find a studio space in an old part of downtown Salt Lake. And that's where we are now.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, tell us what your website is and your Instagram, just in case. I know with the podcast format, it's like, oh, I just want to like get my hands. I want to like see it really quick or see a visual, just in case if, you know, somebody feels the same way. You want to just tell everybody what those things are?
Absolutely. The website is thelovelyav.com, like avenue, so A-V-E. And the Instagram is the same, thelovelyav, at thelovelyav. So I definitely think that you have to see what I'm talking about. Well, most people don't really fully understand what I mean by paper flowers until they look at our account.
Yeah.
And yeah, those are our two places to come see what the way we work. And we are able to ship our flowers anywhere. So that's actually fun. Most of our sales are out of state. So,
yeah. Well, walk us through the process of creating a paper flower. Like, are you looking at a photo or do you visit gardens? Like, where are you kind of deciding like what the next thing is?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I first started, I was just trying to get the understanding of the paper in the first place. So now that I know my paper, I know how it works. There's only three different manufacturers of crepe paper in the world. And so all paper florists are using the same paper, which is amazing because if you do your research and look at any other paper florist, everyone's work looks so different. Mm-hmm. And so the process that I take, it took me a while to understand it because I had to trust my own hands and trust the paper and basically stop being such an OCD freak. Like I, nature isn't perfect and I was trying to make a flower perfect and that's not how it works. So, I used to buy real flowers and take them apart. That was my template. Because when I started, there weren't many templates out there. So, I would buy real flowers from the grocery store, kind of take them apart. And that would be where I would start. Now I can pull up a photo and see a flower and go, okay, this flower is, you know, a lot softer than, say this flower. So then I know I need to use this type of paper. And then most of the time I just have the paper that I need around me and I cut as many petals as I think I might need. And I just kind of start going at it. My process is probably not the best way to do it because I don't necessarily take notes when I first make a flower because I don't think that it helps with creativity. So instead I just kind of let my hands and the paper do the work. And then at the end, I'm like, this is beautiful. How did I make this?
Yeah. Reverse engineering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's basically how it is kind of getting to know my medium as well as I possibly can. And also letting go of wanting it to be perfect. Just knowing that like what I make is going to be beautiful because I made it with my hands. And that in itself is amazing. And so letting go of any of that fear of it not being perfect has actually helped my work grow. And not only in making paper flowers, but I do arrange my flowers into centerpieces. We have done bouquets as well, where we're arranging with real flowers and real foliage to create a more realistic look. And using that mentality of like trying not to have it be perfect and kind of letting the flower or the foliage tell me where it wants to go is kind of the way that I arrange and the way I design.
That's super fun. Are there any books that you feel like helped you as you were kind of getting started? And maybe you'll write us a book so that we can.
Oh.
I don't know.
When I started,
really good at that.
I know it would be great, actually. So when I started, there were no books. There was nothing really much out there. Pinterest was a big help. There were a few templates and a few resources. But now there's an amazing amount of resources for new beginners who want to start making paper flowers. Two of our pioneer paper florists, Tiffany Turner and Jennifer Tran, have written books that are beautiful and revolve around how to use this gorgeous crepe paper and create beautiful, realistic looking paper flowers. And both of those books are available on Amazon. So, yeah, that's what I would recommend anybody to read or look into. But when I started, I actually didn't have those resources.
Yeah.
However, I did have access to Tiffany and Jennifer. Both of them were very kind and friendly to me when I first started. And now I consider them friends. I'm not sure if they consider me that because I'm still such a fangirl around them. But but yeah, when I started, I didn't really have that.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Bouquets and Personals online class. This comprehensive course includes over 6 hours of instruction designed to set you on your way creating beautiful, sturdy bouquets and all kinds of personal flowers with ease. Learn tried and true techniques for organic, tailored, and cascading garden-style bouquets. Discover tips for creating bridal hair accessories, corsages, and boutonnieres. Practice a wide variety of ribboning techniques. Don't forget about flower girls, ring bearers, and pets. This in-depth course covers timeless designs for them all. In addition to instructional videos, this class also includes comprehensive notes detailing stem counts, costs, and supplies for each piece. You'll finish this course fully equipped with everything you need to know to make stunning bouquets and personals that the modern bride will love. Ready to jump in? You can find all the information at teamflower.org/online.
Yeah, absolutely. So you said that you're kind of shipping them all over the world. Are people using your arrangements for weddings? Are they using them for maybe store installs? What would you say the most commonly, what are like some of the common places that your flowers end up showing up?
Yeah. So right now, our most common thing that we do is house decor. So we specialize in how to make arrangements with synthetic foliage that are going to be perfect for your coffee table or perfect for your office. Or we also specialize in gifts. A lot of our flowers are being sent as a gift to someone for their birthday, or our biggest time of the year is February and May. So for Valentine's Day and Mother's Day, those are our huge holidays. Mm-hmm. It's where we do our most work. And then we transition into weddings. So when I first started, I did try to offer full wedding services, which was really difficult because, brides want paper flowers in their bouquets and they love them in the bridesmaids' bouquets as well, because then their bridesmaids get to take something home and then they get to take something home. But in the centerpieces, it didn't really make any sense. It wasn't cost effective for my brides. And when I started this, I didn't necessarily want to become a full wedding florist. After a summer of doing it, I realized I was okay at it. I wasn't the best and it didn't really make me happy. So We quickly switched our model to offering paper flowers to other florists who needed a specific flower that wasn't in season, or their anemones came in and they were terrible. So we've been working a lot with a lot of florists outside of Utah. We have a few connections in Utah as well, where if something goes wrong, their florist can reach out to us as long as the bride's okay with that kind of look. In my opinion, when you mix our paper flowers with real flowers and real foliage, it's really hard to tell which is real and which is not, especially in photos. So yeah, we definitely pride ourselves in being an option for people. And then I do have a good amount of brides who will reach out and just place a huge a la carte order and basically connect me with their florist, and then me and the florist walk through different options and what color palette they need and how to work with the paper flowers, which is very, very simple. All of our flowers are actually quite sturdy. They can sit next to or right on top of or whatever, however you want to arrange real flowers and real foliage, and they won't get damaged. Of course, the flowers have a little bit of they're alive, so they might transfer some water over to the paper, but it doesn't necessarily hurt the paper. Whenever we know that you will be arranging with real flowers, we make sure that our flowers are on different floral stems so that they can sit in water and nothing will get damaged. So as long as the water doesn't get tipped over, the paper flowers will be fine. So yeah, we just...
I love that. That's so fun. There's one of our flower friends over in Singapore, Poppy. She has a signature red paper poppy that goes into each of her you know, arrangements with her other flowers. And it's that one little piece of something that lasts and that hangs on for a while. And I'm even thinking of a client that I have later this year who every time that I've talked with her has said, I just want to figure out how I can preserve this, you know, and some of the flowers that she's using, just they're, I mean, I'm sure if I was like a flower preservation scientist, like we could figure out how to make that work. Maybe you could, you know, you're the scientist among us. We could figure out how to make that work. But now I'm thinking, I had never thought of that as an option before. So I'm so glad that we're talking and kind of like opening that up for people who maybe have never met a paper florist before. But yeah, I think like for this particular client, like I think that she would love to have something like that, that was just had that piece that she could take and that she could cherish. You know, she loves the real flowers, but I think that just a couple of stems mixed in there with something would be really, really lovely. And some of the flowers that you're creating that I've seen on your feed and things are extremely, extremely difficult to source wholesale unless you're in an amazing market. I live in a place where it's a little bit more difficult to source flowers sometimes. Sometimes it's on and it's amazing, and then sometimes it's, you know, a little bit harder. And so I feel like that's a great way if you're wanting to work with some of these things that you're seeing, but you're just having such a difficult time sourcing, that could absolutely be an option as well. That's really neat. Well, you have several people on your team and you've kind of built that out. Tell us a little bit about your team and kind of how it works and who's there and what everybody does. Are you still the chief flower maker? Do you have some apprentices now? What does that look like for you?
So I'm very lucky to live in an amazing city where there are a lot of young women and men who are interested in being creative. And so I got lucky enough where I think it was about 2 years ago where I realized I can't do this alone anymore. But I wasn't in a position to be able to start paying someone.
Sure.
And so I just put it out there. I'm like, maybe people would want to intern. And so I kind of just put it out and said, hey, I'm hiring interns. And I got so many messages. And of course, those messages cut down dramatically when I said it was an unpaid internship. But we still had about, I think our first round gave us about 5 interns. And at first when they came in, it was just helping me with certain processes. So none of my, so right now we have 10 interns that help us, and none of the interns know how to make paper flowers. Mm-hmm. However, they do know how to make certain parts of the paper flower. So they've never been taught how to make the flower from start to finish. And that part of it is still a control thing of mine. I'm still able to make all the flowers and keep up with our demand. And so, especially with their help, though, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing without knowing that they're coming in making, you know, 100 centers for peonies. So they'll know how to make certain pieces. But really, it all started with just like meeting someone in a Starbucks and just going like, okay, well, this is unpaid, and knowing that, that means you can give me as much or as little time as you want. I mean, whatever time you give me is amazing. So I'm thankful for anything that you can. And then I try to make sure to understand why they're even doing this. Why are you gifting me their time? And most wanted to figure out how to get into the wedding industry, if anything, because that's where when I first started, I was marketing myself pretty largely as a wedding expert. So I was happy to connect our interns with certain wedding industry individuals here. And some were just very interested in collaborations and how stylized shoots worked. So then I would just make sure that those interns were involved whenever we did do a stylized shoot. So I made sure that the relationship was reciprocal, but we also protected ourselves. So every intern is signed a non-disclosure, just because even though they're not making paper flowers, they're still in the same room as me. And I'm still happy to answer any questions for them. So if they're asking me how I'm making this flower, I'm not just going to be like, I can't tell you. No, I'll explain it and I'll walk it through with them. That's how it originally started. We had interns helping. And then my first hire was actually my best friend, because I started realizing the thing that was taking me the most time, our paper has to be hand cut. It's such beautiful quality paper, but it's the reason we can create such gorgeous shapes is because it's crepe paper. It stretches. And some of our paper has up to 180% stretch, which it almost doubles in size when you stretch it all the way through. Mm. So it can't go through a die cutter. It can't go through any type of printer, because if it gets snagged accidentally, it just keeps pulling it until it ruins it. Oh. So everything has to be hand cut. So at first I realized, I started looking at the things I hated most to do. And that was one of the reasons why it kind of pushed me to start asking for help, was I don't like to cut paper. I don't like to make centers. I don't like to stem my flowers. I don't like to ship my things off. But I love making the flowers. So let me see if I can find help to help me do the other things. And that was a really big struggle for me, though. I'm obviously, already said, I'm a recovering control freak, and that was hard for me to ask for help. I thought I could do it all, and I definitely couldn't. So having their help, though, has pushed my business into such an amazing place, and the work has gotten better because I've been allowed to sit back and really focus on what makes me happy, which is creating new flowers. And so we've gotten to do more things because I've been able to say yes to projects because I knew that I had the help. I hired a paper cutter and she cuts my paper. And then, the second hire was actually an intern who, when she walked in, I was like, oh, wow, you're incredible. And it was one of the first people that I taught how to make a flower. So from that point on, we've just kind of stuck. The original interns that helped me 2 years ago are still helping me now, which is amazing. I don't really know why they're sticking around, but they're great. I didn't need to ask for more help this year. Next year will probably be a little different. We have some new things in the horizon. So yeah, I just got lucky to be in a really great city where I have people who are willing to help, and they are happy to be paid with donuts and, I guess whatever, like, they want to learn about. So if they want to be a part of a stylized shoot, like I said before, then I'm happy to help them. So there's that.
That's awesome. Well, what tips would you give to florists who want to use paper flowers in their arrangements? Can you tell us a little bit about, like, what do we do when we receive them? How do we kind of care for them? You know, I know you mentioned that they're very sturdy, and as long as we don't dump water on them, they'll be okay. But are there any tips like that, or anything, you know, if we haven't used them before, that we should kind of be aware of or consider?
So the first thing I would say is getting to know the paper florist who's sending you the blooms, right? So having a great relationship or a good communication between that florist and you, so that you know what you're receiving in the first place. But whenever I send flowers to florists to arrange, we always make sure that let them know that once you receive the blooms, let's put them in a vase somewhere that they're not laying on their own weight. Even though they're sturdy, after a few days on their own weight, they will start to lose their shape. And so, you know, get them in a vase and let them sit. Don't put them in direct sunlight. Most of our flowers are treated so that the UV rays don't hurt it too much, but I don't want it to dull any more than it needs to. The paper does dull a few shades, and most people wouldn't even notice. I notice because I know what the original color was. But we do a few different types of treatments. Like, we use pan pastels, which is a really high quality soft pastel that we paint almost half of our flowers we use it on now. It allows it so that we can get this two-tone look in blooms. It looks more realistic, but it also protects the paper. It acts almost like a sunscreen. Keeping them upright and away from direct sunlight. And then when you are arranging with them, treat them like they're a real flower, except for you can bend their stem so that you can put them wherever you want.
Pre-wired, everyone.
Yeah. They're wired. They have their own stems. And so that would be the one thing, is getting the right tools. The stems will come, unless specified otherwise. We always put our stems on 14-inch stems. It's quite long. But I don't know what you're arranging. I don't know how you're going to arrange it. So I want to give you as much length as possible. But then knowing that, you're going to need something that can cut 16-gauge wire. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, play to your heart's content. We also have – sorry, I didn't mean to go all the way back. We have two different stem options. If you're going to create flowers in a bouquet, I'd most likely recommend a stem option that's quite thicker. We source these stems where they're wrapped with more paper so that the stem itself looks more realistic and it's thicker and it feels more like a real stem. So when you're putting it into your arrangement or into a bouquet, you can feel it go through and it's got so much, it's so much wider than like a 16 gauge wire that it will stick in with your, however you're arranging. I like to arrange in a very loose and wild way. So I like to have the thicker stem because then it kind of grabs onto other stems. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I communicate with the florist is like, what are you arranging? If you're arranging a bouquet, then I will send you thicker stems. If you're arranging a centerpiece, I will send you the thinner stems, because the thicker stems, the reason they're thicker is that they're wrapped in paper. And if you put that in water, they'll soak up the water. It won't hurt the paper flower though, because it will get to the base of the flower and then just stop. It won't actually go past it. So it's not a big deal. Like, especially if you put a bouquet in water. So I don't think it's a big deal, because you put the bouquet in water, you take it out, you're going to use a towel anyway to get off the, or get the water off the stem so that it doesn't get on the bride's dress. It's drying off those paper stems. So it's not the end of the world. But if it's sitting in a vase as a centerpiece, then I'd rather have it be wire. So, But it's just knowing the two differences. A lot of paper florists don't offer two different wire options. They just offer one. And so it's just kind of getting to know your florist and such. But in regards to how you arrange the paper flowers, there are a few different flowers of ours that are quite delicate. Like our peony is actually our most sturdy flower, which is funny because I know that that's not the case for the real flower, but our peony is definitely our most sturdy. So it's also getting to know that florist's arranging style, right? So our flowers do the best in very open, wild, staggered kind of arrangements, because there's not that many squished flowers together. But our flowers also do pretty well in more standard circular bouquet styles. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, though, then we'll definitely want to have that communication so that we're not sending you blooms that wouldn't survive in that kind of style, because they would get squished by too much. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just kind of getting to know each other, so having that communication. But I have never necessarily had a problem with mixing my flowers with real flowers, other than the bouquet accidentally tipping over and water getting on them. But as long as you pick it up and kind of dust it off pretty quick, you should be fine. So, yeah.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Creating Inspired Designs, a fast-track online class designed to set you free in your work with flowers. Nurturing creativity in our lives is important. Designing arrangements that our clients both love and that we're excited about is important too. If you've ever experienced that tension between what you'd like to create and what your client needs, this class will help. Together, we'll go on a journey in creative expression. We'll explore our personal design philosophies, learn how to break out of creative ruts, and step out from under the weight of perfectionism. We'll cover both client and personal arrangements and learn techniques for bridging the gaps between these two types of work. If you're ready to get back to creating from a place of joy and inspiration, you can learn more at teamflower.org/online.
Oh, that's so fun. I really have enjoyed this. So what would you, before we sign off here today, could you just tell us like a list of maybe like some of your most popular blooms or some new things that you're, some new things that we can see coming down the way, or I don't know, just tell us what you're making. Help us see a little bit inside your studio.
Yeah, of course. So our most popular blooms are definitely the temperamental blooms. So, and obviously the blooms that aren't in season that everyone wants. So our most popular bloom is our peony. Mm-hmm. And then our second is our dahlia, just because dahlias I know are very temperamental. And yeah, so our dahlia, and then I think our third currently, I would say, is our wild garden rose. And I think the reason for that is because the wild garden rose variation that we do is always painted with the pan pastel. So we can make quicksands, we can make distant drums. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's fun to be able to create that variation using these pastels. And so you're almost getting a little piece of artwork in your bouquet. So yeah, those are our definitely our most popular when it comes to providing flowers for florists. But like I said, I've been able to do flowers last minute, and it just depends on what they might need at that time. Most of the time we have a lot of our standard blooms, like our peonies, dahlias, and wild garden roses in stock. And then what's kind of coming down the pipeline, we're really excited about our still life paintings.
I love that.
So we're really hoping to be able to host a gallery at the end of the summer where we show off every painting we've created, which has been really great for me because I actually follow a lot of florists on Instagram in order to get, obviously, more inspiration and try new flowers. And so I've been hoarding a lot of different arrangement styles from people and hopefully get to kind of put my own spin on it and learn from that. So yeah, that's kind of what's coming down the pipeline is to make more of our still lifes.
Okay. And are they like a 3D?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So we put them on like a canvas backing or a frame backing, and the flowers themselves are what creates the 3D look. So they're coming mm-hmm. off of the frame, but they're attached. And so they're not going to fall off. And I think our smallest frame right now is like 16 by 24, no, 18 by 24. So they're quite large,
yeah.
Which is really a lot of fun. So like seeing them in person is, I think, what people would need in order to fully grasp how they're just like thought provoking. You look at them and you want to keep looking.
It sounds very dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm really, really excited about them. So anyway, that's what we're doing.
Great. That's so great. Thank you so much for coming on today and just opening our eyes to a different perspective, a different point of view, and for sharing your talents and everything with us. Is there anything that you'd like to say before we sign off here today?
Absolutely. Don't be afraid to use paper flowers or synthetic, but paper flowers is an option. There are so many amazing artists out there that are incredible at what they do. And it is possible to mix paper real and have it turn out beautiful. But if you're nervous or worried, feel free to reach out to any of us. Any of you can reach out to me. We can do a discounted rate for your first couple of blooms. And that way you can play around with it first before you show your brides. And then you can keep those blooms and show the brides the blooms as well. So, it's not like, not that I'm saying that going full synthetic is bad, but I know that there is definitely a negative connotation around synthetic blooms. And I think that's what we're trying to break is that mold of you can use paper and have it still look realistic and make sure that your bride and your client is happy because you're providing what you weren't able to source. So we can work together and make their day amazing.
Make the magic happen. Oh, I love that. Well, thanks again so much. And to all of you out there who are listening, it's been great to have you today. And hope that this inspires you to think outside the box and take your creativity to the next level. As we sign off today, I want to remind you that your work with flowers matters. It's about more than the blooms. You're loving the world. You make magic happen. You're creating memories. You're following a dream, delivering light and grace. Here at Team Flower, we're cheering you on, one bloom at a time. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and until next time, remember that we're so thankful for each bucket that you wash and each bag of garbage that you take out of your studio that makes all of this possible. If you're looking for more floral education that's free, conversation or inspiration, just visit teamflower.org/free to see the library of helpful videos and articles for florists, growers, and flower business owners. You'll find helpful tips on everything from creating flower walls to hiring freelancers and much, much more.